Shalom, be Kathleen here. Because this is such an excellent teaching that goes along with the Parsha readings for this week, I'm going to read it to you. It's from Hebrews for a Christian, John Parsons. It's part of the Parsha's Don't Forget What the Amalekites Did to You. Fighting Spiritual Blindness. The meaning of warfare with Amalek. So, Ki Tzitzit is always read during the season of Teshuvah. It's my hope that this article will encourage you to return to the Lord and listen to His voice. Deuteronomy 32. Our Torah portion this week recalls how the ancient tribe of Amalek attacked the Jewish people when they first left Egypt during the Great Exodus. Hang on just a second. I have to adjust my screen on my smartphone. Okay, remember what Amalek did to you? By the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, how he met you by the way and struck you at your rear. All who were feeble behind you when you were faint and weary and did not fear God. Oh, they didn't fear God. That was the first place of the inroad of the enemy. Therefore it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies around in the land, which God has given you for an inheritance to possess, that you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek. From under heaven, you shall not forget. Deuteronomy 25, 17 through 19. These verses add some details that were left out of the account given in the book of Exodus. Exodus 17, 8 through 16. For example, we learn that Amalek attacked Israel from the rear, slaughtering the weakest members of the community first. In addition, we are told that Amalek acted with such cruelty because he did not fear God. Nehemiah Leibowitz writes, after the Exodus, mankind as a whole might have taken one great step further and acknowledged the sovereignty of the God of justice and truth. But then along came Amalek, and unrestrained by the dread and awe that kept all the nations of the world in check, showed the way for the others. This is Psalm 2 reiteration here. What was there to fear? That a people had gone forth from the land of Egypt, now they were wandering in the wilderness, weary and struggling. Why should they not be attacked? This was the way of the world, Leibowitz studies in the Parsha. Yes, that's surely the way of the world, to bully the weak, to terrorize the righteous, to practice cruelty, and engage in bloodlust. It is the common approach of nearly all governments in the world, and the preferred approach of various religious cults that refuse to truly fear the Lord. The Hebrew lessons from Deuteronomy 25, 17. That's the reading. It reads, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you came out of Egypt. 25, 7, Deuteronomy. God does not want us to forget the attack by Amalek, since it symbolizes all subsequent spiritual warfare in the lives of his people. Recall that while the battle raged, Moses, accompanied by Aaron and Hur, went to the top of the hill holding the staff, his staff. Oops. When he raised his hands in prayer to the Lord, the Israelites prevailed. But once Moses' hands became heavy, the Amalekites prevailed. The battle lasted until sunset when Amalek was finally defeated. It was an all-day battle fought in the light. To commemorate the victory, Moses built an altar on it, called it Adonai Nisi, which is the Lord is my banner, or the Lord is my miracle, saying, for a hand is upon the Lord's banner. The Lord will war against Amalek for all generations. Exodus 17, 16. Moses' outstretched hands were as a hand upon the banner of the Lord. Likewise, our victory in the battle against spiritual darkness comes through persistent appeals to the Lord for help. Hebrew lessons, Exodus 17, 16. Oops, is that right? See, yeah. Mm-hmm. For hand is upon the banner of Yah, There will be war for the Lord against Amalek for all generations. Wake up. Just as the Torah commands us to remember that, the Shabbat, to keep it holy, Exodus 28, to remember the Passover redemption, Exodus 13:3, and to remember what God did to Miriam, Deuteronomy 24:9. So we're commanded to remember what Amalek did to Israel, Deuteronomy 25:17. To fulfill this commandment, Jewish tradition publicly recites these verses on the Shabbat before Purim, called Shabbat Zachor, so that the wiping out of Amalek might be connected with the wiping out of Haman the Agagite, a descendant of Amalek, Esther 3:1. In addition, pardon me, it is customary for Jewish soferim, scribes, to literally blot out the name Amalek when they test their quills before writing a Torah scroll. Oh, look at that. They scratch it out. There is a paradox in the commandment, however, since how can the memory of Amalek be blotted out if we are commanded to recall it? How is it possible to remember something God wants us to forget? After all, if the Lord wanted the Amalekites to be forgotten, though I mention their name, why should we be commanded to remember what Amalek at all? It should be clear that Amalek denotes something more than a particular wicked tribe that attacked the children of Israel. No, Amalek symbolizes the collective children of darkness and the servants of evil that abound around the world. Historically, Amalek may have been a grandson of Esau and chief of an Edomite tribe, Genesis 36, 12, 16, but is also described as the first among the nations, even predating the time of Abraham, Genesis 14, 7, Numbers 24, 20. In Augustine's terms, Amalek represents the city of the world, whereas Israel represents the city of God. It is in this sense that Amalek represents children of darkness in the world, the perpetual enemies to the kingdom of God. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation, Exodus 17:16. The name Amalek begins with the letter Ayin, symbolizing the eye, and equals 240 in gematria. I'm not saying, you know, about gematria and all that. It's kind of like we're getting into some stuff I don't really necessarily endorse, but I'll read it anyway. The same value for Suffolk, the Hebrew word for doubt. Amalek therefore suggests the eye of doubt or even the severed eye. The Hebrew verb means to chop or sever in reference to the eye of Ayin. Amalek therefore represents spiritual blindness as it acts in the world. God used the tribe of Amalek to attack Israel during the time of Exodus because the people doubted the Lord by asking one another, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Exodus 17:7-8. Note that the gematria of Haman is 95, the same as for Hamelech, the king, suggesting that people like Haman are invested with power whenever we doubt the divine presence in our midst. Hello, let's go back to that. Let's visit that. That is the principle. Note that the gematria of Haman, 95, is the same for Hamelech, the king, suggesting that people like Haman are invested with power whenever we doubt the divine presence in our midst. In other words, whenever we give place to wicked kings, then the divine presence backs off. We lose our authority. Wiping out Amalek, then, is a call to spiritual warfare, and the weapon of our warfare is the truth of the salvation of God lived out in our lives, 2 Corinthians 10:4. We must cast off the works of darkness and put on the weapons of light, Romans 13:12. We practice the ministry of reconciliation using truthful speech and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, 2 Corinthians 6:7. We are to present the use of our bodies to God as weapons for righteousness, Romans 6:13. Unlike the doubtful Amalek, the righteous are called to walk in emunah, faith, with the ayin hatavo, the good eye of trust. We are called children of light, who walk in the light, John 12:36, Ephesians 5:8, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, and 1 John 1:7. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant, Psalm 143:12. The Targum Yonatan says, you shall blot out the memory of Moloch from under the heavens, but of the days of the King Messiah you shall not be unmindful. The commandment to blot out Moloch will ultimately be filled in the Messianic kingdom to come. Pardon me. When the Lord your God has given you rest from all your surrounding enemies in the land, the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance to possess, Deuteronomy 25:19, at that time all memory of Moloch will be blotted out from under heaven, just as God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. This is a glorious truth. We should never forget, despite the condition of this world and the apparent upper hand of the Amalekites. Meanwhile, we are engaged in spiritual warfare and must be armed for the battle. Since therefore the Messiah suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. 1 Peter 4:1. Be sober and vigilant. Put on the whole armor of God, because we wrestle against spiritual forces of evil at work in the world today. Ephesians 6:10-18. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. In God's power you will tread upon the lion and cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Psalm 91:13. Luke 10:19. May the Lord help us stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, fighting together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. Okay, take this to heart. God bless you. Love you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Woo, hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Glory to God. Give glory to God. Give glory to God.